And welcome to the Way of Truth. My name is Kenny Chumley. I'm the preacher for the Gibson City Church of Christ, and it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning for this study. We're getting near the end of this series I've been doing on the truth of Christianity. Maybe one or two more lessons on this, but we'll be on that subject this morning. Before we get to it, let me tell you that the Gibson City Church of Christ meets at its building on the south side of Gibson on Route 47. We're about a block south of the traffic signal there at the intersection of 47 and 9. And we'll be meeting this morning at 9 o'clock to begin our worship. We have classes for all ages. We engage in singing, congregational singing, prayer, reading scripture, eating the Lord's Supper, preaching from the Bible. This morning's sermon is on loving our neighbor. I've been talking about loving God, loving self, and we conclude the series this morning talking about loving our neighbor. On Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, we have a midweek study. We have classes for all ages. And we have a website, the Gibson City Church of Christ.com. And you can access audio files of these series, these studies we've been having, audio files of the sermons, the weekly Sunday bulletin is there. And again, that's found at GibsonCityChurchOfChrist.com. I want to begin this morning by making an important distinction. We don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God because the Bible is the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God because Jesus is the Son of God. That principle is so important, I want to repeat it. Christians do not start out assuming that the Bible is the Word of God and concluding therefrom that Jesus is the Son of God since the Bible says it. Now that's what critics and skeptics often accuse us of doing, but that's not the way it works. No, we start out simply accepting the Bible as we would any other document from antiquity. And we apply to it the tests that have been devised by historians, bibliographers, to determine the validity, the credibility, the veracity of an ancient document. And when those tests are applied, and we went through those tests in this series, when those tests are applied, the Bible comes through with flying colors. In fact, there is no document from antiquity that has higher attestation, whose credentials are stronger for its accuracy and historicity than the Bible. And so, having established the historical validity of the Bible, we go to the book to see what it has to say about Jesus. And based on what it has to say, the only rational conclusion we can draw from the historical evidence is that Jesus is divine, that he was indeed God with us, that he is the Son of God, and the resurrection, for which there is so much historical evidence. The resurrection was the crowning miracle that proved the deity of Christ. Now, if Jesus is God, whatever he says is true. And if Jesus tells us that the Bible is the Word of God, then we believe it's the Word of God because the Son of God taught that. I read about a professor who told his class that the book of Genesis was false. And then I read in the Gospels where Jesus affirms that Genesis is true. Now, the reason I believe Jesus over the professor is because Jesus was raised from the dead. The professor has died and has not been risen. He's still dead, but Jesus, who died, was raised. And that's the basis on which I believe what Christ says about the book of Genesis. And so I want to talk this morning briefly about the teaching Christ left us about the Bible. I want us to look at what he said about the Old Testament. I want us to look at what he said about the New Testament. And whatever he said about the Testaments, about the Bible, we can believe because he is the Son of God. So here are seven things that Jesus taught about the Old Testament. He taught that it was the Word of God, and here's how he taught it. Number one, he looked to the Old Testament as a divine authority. And this comes through plainly in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by Satan. Satan replied to the most powerful enemy man can ever encounter by quoting Scripture. When told to turn stones into bread, he said, "It is written." When told to jump off the temple, he said, "It is written" again. When told to fall down and worship the devil, he said, "For it is written." And each time, he referred to the book of Deuteronomy. Each time he quoted from the book of Deuteronomy. On at least 92 occasions in the Bible, Jesus and his apostles supported a position they held by saying, "It is written," or its equivalent, and then quoting from the Old Testament. Jesus and the apostles looked upon the Old Testament as being authoritative. He used the Old Testament to respond to the most powerful enemy of man, and he used it because he believed it was the Word of God. He believed it was the truth. Secondly, Jesus believed that the Old Testament was fully authoritative. You might remember that famous saying of his where he said, "Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law until all be fulfilled." Now, Christ did not teach that the Old Testament was going to last forever. He did not teach that its requirements and its rituals were to continue forever. You can go to Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 to 20 to see that. The Old Testament was going to come to an end. But while the Old Testament was in force, which it was during the lifetime of Jesus, it was fully authoritative. When he said not one jot or tittle would pass till all be fulfilled, that was like saying that not even the dot on the I or the cross on the T would pass away until every bit of it was fulfilled. Thirdly, Jesus taught that the Old Testament was infallible. In John chapter 10, the Jews are wanting to stone Jesus because they think he's blasphemed. And Christ deals with the situation by quoting the Old Testament. He quotes from the book of Psalms, where the psalmist said of judges in Israel that ye are gods. And Christ says the scripture cannot be broken. The point is, there's no denying the fact that God in the Old Testament referred to some men as gods, small g, not capital G, but small g. And Christ's point is, if God can refer to men in the Old Testament as being gods, if there's a sense, a way in which men might be described as being gods in the Old Testament, then why are you objecting when I apply the term God to myself? Even if you think I'm just a man, men in the Old Testament were referred to as gods. You can't deny that. The scripture cannot be broken. So Christ believed in the infallibility of the Old Testament, and he based arguments and responses to the Jews on the infallibility of Scripture. Number four, Christ believed the Old Testament was inerrant. In Matthew 22, the Sadducees, the chief priests, try to set a trap for Jesus involving the resurrection. They had this riddle that they went through about a woman who was married to a man who dies, and she ends up marrying his six brothers. She's married to seven men in total, seven brothers. And they want to know, now in the resurrection, which they didn't believe in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Their point was, you know, if there is a resurrection, if there is an afterlife, it's going to be a mess. There are going to be so many situations in the afterlife that really can't be resolved because of situations in this life. And you know how Christ responded to that? He tells them, "You're wrong. You are in error because you do not know the scripture or the power of God." Skeptics have tried for centuries to show that the Old Testament is in error. But as Christ points out, it's not the Old Testament that's in error. The Old Testament, by the way, taught the resurrection, as Christ proceeds to show. It's men who are in error. There have been attempts after attempts after attempts over the centuries to discredit the Old Testament, to prove that some statement it makes is incorrect or wrong, and every one of those attempts have failed. Critics used to say that there was no such people as the Hittites. The Hittites are named in the Old Testament. And then, you know, 100 or so years ago, the Hittite civilization was discovered. And we know a great deal today about the Hittites. In every case, when skeptics have tried to say that the Old Testament was wrong, it's the skeptics who have been proven to be wrong. And in connection with this, number five, Christ believed that the Old Testament was historically true. I think it's significant that Jesus makes reference in his teaching to some of the most disputed stories in the Old Testament, those stories that the unbelieving critics latch on to as evidence of error in the Old Testament. For instance, Jesus endorsed the biblical account of creation. Jesus endorsed the biblical account of Noah and the flood. Jesus endorsed what happened to Jonah. Jesus endorsed what happened to Lot's wife. And Christ believed Daniel was a prophet. Every one of those individuals or events like the flood or creation have been attacked, have been denied by skeptics and critics. Christ believed in every one of them. And in connection with that, number six, the Old Testament is scientifically accurate. You know, some of the ancients used to think that the world rested on the shoulders of Atlas. I think it was the Hindus who believed that the world rested on a giant turtle or some such thing. The Old Testament says that the world hangs on nothing. The Old Testament says that the world had a beginning. Science has at last come around to believing that. There has never been any pronouncement of the Old Testament that has been proven scientifically untrue. And Christ believed that the Old Testament is authoritative over the teaching of men. He used the Old Testament to correct and to criticize the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. He said, "You have nullified the Word of God by your tradition." Christ believed that in every respect the Old Testament was true and that it was authoritative. Now, what about the New Testament? Well, note this distinction. While Jesus confirmed the Old Testament, he promised the New Testament. What do I mean by that? Well, in John 14 and John 16, Christ said that the New Testament would come through the apostles because he would give them the Holy Spirit, who would remind them of what he had said and who would guide them into all truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul says that the church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, on the teaching done by inspired men. The apostles claim that what Jesus promised actually happened. In 1 John 4, 6, John says that the apostles, quote, are of God. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, John says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. In 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 13, in chapter 7, verse 40, Paul claimed that his words were taught him by the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 14, 37, he says his writings are the Lord's command. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, he commended Thessalonians who received the word of God, which you heard from us, the apostles, because they accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is the Word of God. The apostles didn't claim to get their messages from men. They claimed that their message came from God. You know, anybody can claim that they've gotten a message from God, but the apostles backed up their claim with miracles that confirmed the word that they spoke. And so Jesus believed that the Old Testament was the Word of God. He promised that the Word that would come through the apostles would be the Word of God. I want to thank you for listening. Next week we'll probably have the last study in this series, but I do hope you have a good week. And until next week, I'll look forward to being with you at 8 o'clock next Sunday right here on the way of truth.